Lord God, please help me to present your word to glorify you. In Jesus' holy and precious name, I pray, Lord. Amen. This has been, out of all the studies I've done so far, this has been probably the easiest and most difficult that I've had, because the fact is the scripture itself is so point blank. If I read this and this, I'd be done in about 2.5 minutes. But the scripture says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." And when I read this, I got to thinking, it says don't lust. And then most Christians would say, we don't lust. But if you think about it, do you want a new car? Do you want a new house? My son, he wants everything. And to me, that's lusting. If it's something that you've got to have and you just can't do without it. And that's why I went and I dug back into actually the Old Testament. Because in verse 11 it mentions fleshly lusts, but aren't all lusts born in the flesh? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And I think back to probably the greatest man of his time. He was said to be a man after God's own heart. It's the only one I ever read about in the Bible that had that title. His name was King David. And he went and did something that most of us would have said he wouldn't, he wouldn't do it, but he did. He went and committed. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, he committed the lust with the eyes, and then he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, he worked up this wonderful plan to murder her husband. But he didn't really take thought for who else he was killing, because other men died in that battle that Uriah died in. And on top of that, David had no remorse. None whatsoever. He waited for Bathsheba to mourn her husband, and then he took her as his wife. So even the greatest among us can fall. It just amazed me, because I guess lust just doesn't have a conscience, because David was very cold and calculating in everything he did, even though he had Joab commit, the act to get Uriah killed. But how many other men died in the process? And then, like I said, it actually has two other headings. Like I said, don't lust, be honest, no matter what. And let your life and what you do glorify God. Well, the second one was one that it puzzled me, and it still does to this day. It says, be honest. And the only thing I could think about was, it was the story about Ananias and Sapphira. They went and in Acts 5, verses 1 through 10, they went and they planned to sell some land, and instead of giving all the money to God, they decided to keep some of it back for themselves. But if you think about it, they didn't have to give any of it to God. It was theirs, wasn't it? And even at that point, what did God actually ask for? He only asked for 10%. But they attempted to do something that none of us can do. And that is to actually lie to God. Because the Holy Ghost told Paul, and he said, "You are attempting to lie to the Holy Spirit." And Ananias fell down dead. And it took about 3 hours, and Sapphira was wondering where he was. And she came in, and she committed the same lie. And he said, "How could it be that you've agreed to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Because right here in verse 12, it says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles." That's exactly what God wants us to do. If nothing else, we may not be great witnesses for Christ by going and preaching the word or teaching the word. But our own person can be a witness for Christ, either good or bad. And unfortunately, I can honestly say myself, I've been a pretty bad witness. And a lot of times I've got a really bad temper. But he even asked her, when Sapphira came, he asked her, he said, "Did you sell the land for so much?" And she stood there and boldly lied. And then she died. It just amazes me because they didn't have to give anything to God. Or even if they did, he only asked for 10%. But I think they were trying to make an outward show to everybody else who was bringing all and giving all. They wanted to act like they were doing the same thing. And it just amazes me that mankind is that shallow that they think that they can pass by on what God wants us to do. Like I said, they didn't even have to bring a dime. And then at the end of it, it says, oh, I actually looked up one because I thought about it. It was 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, "God loves a cheerful giver." Apparently, they weren't that cheerful about giving it. And at the end, it says, "Glorify God." Well, I don't know if you can ever do a good enough work to glorify God, but our lives are supposed to be that work. Jesus was and is our example. He lived and died and did not sin. He glorified his Father and paid our debt. In Matthew 5:44, it says, "Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." If that wouldn't be the greatest work we could do, because how many of us could actually do that? Jesus did it all the way to the cross. And we fail every day I'm not going to put anybody else there, me. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, I fail. Or somebody does something to me that I don't really care for, I fail. And then I have to do the last part of this. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's a very short verse. "Pray without ceasing. It is our greatest weapon."